No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live from Satellite Beach, Florida, and wherever you may be around the universe, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game show. And we say good evening, universe, with Dave Manouk, with Ezra Ginsberg. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Pleased to be back with everyone having taken the weekend off. But as you can see, yes, it is Drew. I am here. I'm on a bit of a family vacation, a family sojourn with my wife's family. But thrilled to be back with everybody to talk about tonight's Winnipeg Jets Edmonton Oilers game, a game that the Jets battled back in to come to earn the 1 point, which is, if you're a glass half full person, something to be impressed about, given that they were down 3-1 in that third period. But at the same time, a lot of concerning aspects of tonight's game from the Winnipeg Jets perspective, particularly in periods 2 and 3 before Hyman. Of course, it was Zach Hyman tonight, given all the noise and stupidity that was going on around him. No fault of his own, but fault of somebody that, just embarrass themselves on the internet, and you can find it if you want to find it. We don't need to give that person any more oxygen. Former member of the media, I don't believe he's still a member, and certainly won't be after his shenanigans earlier today. But Zach Hyman with the OT winner for the Edmonton Oilers in a game that I thought started very entertaining and then got sort of gradually worse as it went on, except for the flurry from the Jets' perspective in the third period to tie it up. But more things concerning to me than necessarily positive from a Jets perspective. Ezzy, good to see you both. Thanks for filling in for me on the weekend.
Yeah, Drew, looks like you're having a great time. I can see a nice tan that you've got there from your time down in Florida. So we're obviously glad to have you back for tonight's post game show and any shows that you're able to join us for until you get back in the peg. But I think you're right when you say there are, you know, concerning signs from this game. Look at the Jets got a big point there. That's huge. You can't really minimize that, right? Because you're down 2 goals in the third period, but I don't know how you fail to register a shot, boys, on a 4 minute, power play, right? Like, that power play to me was really demoralizing. And I think the play in front of Connor Hellebuyck is troubling. Look, I mean, it's a bad turnover by Kyle Connor on the game winning goal by Zach Hyman in overtime. I mean, the Jets clearly were giving, you know, the Oilers too much speed through the neutral zone. The shots were 19-4 or something like that in the second period, heavily one-sided in the Oilers' favor. You still, I think, don't like the fact that the Jets get out of their structure too much and the team looks different from period to period. I agree with you, Drew. The first, 7, 8, 10 minutes of the game, I think you really liked what you saw from the Jets. Overall, I think, the first period was fairly even. Maybe you give the Jets a little bit of an edge, possession-wise. But I don't think that, the second period, you can just say that you're going to flush that, right? Like, we talked about it after the Jets Capitals game. The Jets needed a big response in this game. And, you can make an argument that, they were lucky to get this game to overtime when you think of all the saves, right? Like the Leon Draisaitl scoring chance early in the second, the Evander Kane breakaway in the second period. I mentioned it, 19 shots, right? Like, there were a lot of good scoring chances. I'd have to go to natural stat trick here to see how many were there were. 9. The Oilers had 9 high danger chances in the second period to the Jets 3, right? So that's almost as one side as you can get. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't their best effort. And, even though Nashville beat Vegas, Vegas is going to come in hungry. The Jets have lost already, I believe, 2 games to the Golden Knights this year. It's been a while since they've played. But you're right, Drew. I mean, look, if the Jets win this in overtime, we're probably, forgetting some of this stuff. Exactly.
You're talking about the comeback.
Absolutely. If the Jets get the extra point, I mean, you're probably, Dave, willing to forget how poorly they played in the second period. But the Jets are having a lot of trouble defending off the rush. We saw it in New Jersey, and we certainly saw it in the Islanders game, where it was 6-1 Islanders after 2 periods, right? So I think that's got to be the most concerning. And you know, and you know, the line changes and just, you know, the attention to detail, as Drew always likes to talk about. You know, there's some pretty big, you know, free pizzas that were being given up in this game. So yes, I mean, I'm happy for the Jets that they got the point. But I think you could argue that, you know, the Oilers easily, you know, could have had 4 or 5 goals in this game, and it doesn't even get to overtime.
Yeah, it's,
they did have, it was, game. What I meant is they could have had 4 or 5 goals during regulation is what I meant to say, guys.
Drew, I know you haven't been on the show in a while, but let somebody else have the mic, for God's sake. It's been 6 minutes there. Chill there, Drew. Lots of time on the show, lots of time. I mean, we did have 7 goals that we were going to have to discuss, but look, it's, I would say that I agree with Ezzy, like, that we talked about it today. This is the first game back after a long road trip. Rick Bonus in his media availability, available, of course, on our YouTube channel. We'll hear from Rick Bonus momentarily from the Matt Frost Media Center. But he talked about the things that he can see that were wrong with this team and what they're not doing right. Paul Friesen of the Winnipeg Sun asked him, like, listen, like, your team was playing a certain style. They weren't allowing a goal, or sorry, more than 3 goals for 34 straight games, right? As
so 34 games, yeah.
Yeah, so you go on that sort of streak, and now your structure is not there. You don't have that same consistency, that attention to detail. Okay, here comes Rick Bonus. We'll get back to my thoughts.
A lot of talk about effort and push heading into the game, so probably the first and third would be the ones that you'd be the happiest about. Overall, what was your assessment?
Well, I think you just look at the first 2 periods. The first period shows you how good we can be. And then the second period shows you how bad we are when we get away from the way we're supposed to play, which we did in the first. Yeah, we got it back in the third. So it was kind of like that. That's how I assess it. That first was great. Second was terrible. And the third was even. So,
is there a moment you can point to in the second where things just open up too much?
It was terrible puck management at their blue line and a couple of really bad changes, and that cost us the goal. So that's self-inflicted. So it's not just one moment. It was too many. But that's creating your own problems. That's all that is doing.
When it came to, actually, let's stay on that. Like, I think that probably transition defense has been a tough spot during this slide. The sort outs, picking up that guy. It's got to be an awful lot harder when the line change goes wrong and their guy comes fresh off the bench. Eh?
Yeah, we're making bad changes and you're hanging your teammate out to dry when you're doing that. We've got to know where the puck is. They've got full possession and we're making changes. That's just, you know, that's not just being alert. And it's not fair to the teammates you're hanging out to dry when you make those changes. But that's just paying a little bit more attention.
In the third period, you go down 3-1, and probably on a penalty situation you wouldn't have been a huge fan of, but you push back from there.
So yeah, listen, again, the third was good. We're down 2 goals against a really good team, but it's another night that our specialty teams cost us the game. We've given up another penalty kill goal, a power play goal against, and the power play didn't do anything. So, but it was, again, I told the guys, like, we were down 3-1, and we battled back. So there's a lot of fight in there. We just have to stop beating ourselves.
I just wanted to ask about OT as well. You've talked about the strategy in OT, starting Lowry and Appleton. You want the puck, 2 shifts in, they score. And I'm wondering, like, don't they have the advantage if their first 2 shifts are guys who are more likely to score?
Not really. You know, again, they had played against them all night, so, and they did a good job. We had control of the puck. We threw it away. So, again, it's not, yeah.
Rick, with regards to puck management, does that need to be a mentality, or?
Yeah, I mean, they have the players sitting on the bench have to see what we see, and everyone else sees that we're coming up to the blue line. They're standing there, and we're trying to stick handle through 3 or 4 guys. Gretz never did that, right? So, it's just creating a lot of our own problems, and giving them, they're a rush team, and we're giving them the puck. And letting them come at us. And all that does is get them excited about playing the game, and they can play a lot faster. When we're doing that, we look slow.
What did you think of the, you know, couple tilts? Did it feel like the game had the right amount of intensity?
Yeah, well, the intensity was there, and the effort was there. I mean, that wasn't the issue. It was just the mental mistakes with the puck and the changes in the second period. And other than that, the game was fine.
You put Logan Stanley back in. What did you see from him in the game?
We liked what he brings, that big physical guy, big physicality. He was fine. Stanley, he wasn't the issue at all. He did his job. He did what we asked him to do.
I want to ask about the power play. You had a power play to end the game at a big spot there. You said you didn't like how it looked. What were some of those things that were contributing to the struggles?
We didn't support the puck quick enough. Too much one-on-one and not making the next play, right? It's just when you're under pressure, you got to be able to make that next play, and we weren't making it. That's what it comes down to. When they're getting that worked hard, you need support in the puck. But when you get it, you got to be ready to make that next play. And we weren't making it because we just didn't handle the puck well enough.
The past couple of teams you've played have had pretty aggressive penalty kills. Was that the same thing from Edmonton tonight? Aggressive
on
the
PK? They're very aggressive. Yeah. We knew that was coming.
Good. I know you see this as a little bit of an opportunity loss, but given where you're coming from, where you're trying to get to, is there a step forward in here tonight?
Well, again, it's the first period shows you how good we can be. Yeah. So in the third, when we battle back, so there is a step forward. The problems, they're self-inflicted. What we're doing with when you're making the bad decision at the puck with the blue line and you're making bad changes, that's self-inflicted. It's nothing they're doing. And we just created our own problems. And that's where do we take the next step when we clean that up? Yeah. Was there enough good things there tonight? Yeah. We had a lot of chances to score. We hit the crossbar. We had breakaways. But so did they. It's disappointing when I see us giving up that many shots and that many chances against. I hate to see that because you're not going anywhere when it, playing like that. So we've got to continue to tighten it up. That's not our game.
So when you talked earlier today, you talked about knowing what the issue is. Is that self-inflicted?
Yeah, I know. We know what that game tonight. I know exactly what the issues are. Good. Thanks.
Jets head coach Rick Bowness saying self-inflicted wounds are the key issue in tonight's contest from the Winnipeg Jets. They lose 4-3 in overtime to the Edmonton Oilers. We're getting into the nitty-gritty details. You are watching the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you on what day of the week is it? Tuesday night.
Thank
you. Sorry, I've been on vacation.
Must be nice to be on vacation.
The summer days are blending together.
Sorry, vacation, Drew.
Yes, I know. The days are blending together, admittedly.
No, Dave, so we need a winter Drew, so when then Drew goes on vacation, we have somebody to sub in for him as a host, right?
That's only reasonable of you guys to hope for that to occur. So let me know how that works out for you. It'd be my comment then to both of you on that front. But he's right. You know, the Jets in that second period, you know, they got away from what made them successful in that first period. You know, it doesn't take a hockey genius or a hockey savant to notice it. They were just, you know, they were playing into their opponent's hand. And with Edmonton, if you play into their hands, it's oftentimes going to bite you, as we saw with the Oilers getting those two goals in that second period based on Jets mistakes. I mean, those goals, sometimes you give up a goal and it's because you did everything right, but the opponent just did their thing better. And then sometimes you give up goals when you make mistakes and they take advantage of it. And those would both be the things that they take advantage of in this instance, Dave.
Can I hold on before Dave gets in here? Because I think Dave M might have something cooking on the website or in the chat. I'm not sure. Dave M has a lot of things going on, as you know, Dave.
That's true.
Drew, it could be on social media. I mean, there's a lot of behind the scenes things happening on that laptop. But look, on the first goal, I didn't like the defensive coverage. That's the Draisaitl goal. That was the first goal. Connor Brown's was the second goal. And you know, I'm not stealing your thunder here in the Betway game recap, Drew, but the line change on the second goal.
Yeah.
That's what Rick Bowness was specifically addressing there, right? Yes. Because you had a tired Neil Pionk who goes off. Dylan DeMello had already come on for Brendan Dillon. So Josh Morrissey's late into the play. He has absolutely no chance to have any type of impact on the play. But also, I forget who it was. There was somebody else that went off the ice, and then Vlad Namestnikov came on the ice. I'd have to check who it was. It might have been Nick Ehlers, Dave. I forget. It was somebody that was deep in the Oilers zone.
Yeah.
So it was just a horrible line change because the Oilers had possession of the puck. Like, you at the very least have to get that puck deep. Yeah. And you have to give your guys an opportunity to get into the play, right?
So especially that in the second period with the long change. Long
line
change.
Exactly, yeah. Right? And the game is tied at that point, obviously. But it's just, and you make a good point, Drew. You're right. And it's a long change and it's a slow change. So that was just inexcusable. And then also to take that penalty, the too many men on the ice penalty late in the second period,
Mm-hmm. Which we know, they killed
guys,
off.
Guys, how many years have we been talking about how lethal the Oilers' power play is, right? Like
right.
5-6 years now. So I mean, like you're now going into the second intermission down 2-1, and you're giving the second best power play in the league yes. an opportunity to go up 2 goals. And yes, you know, we'll mention again and again how the Jets tied this game up. But at the end of the day, like this is a game in which you needed a clean 2 points, not a game in which you wanted to scratch and claw to tie it to force overtime, right? So I can understand what Rick Bowness is saying. I know a lot of people in the chat are you know, saying that, you know, Bones keeps saying the same thing. But I mean, look, it's the same old story. The Jets are getting killed off the rush and they're making a lot of penalties. And again, I hate to pick on Neil Pionk, but again, guys, he is struggling out there. Like, again, sorry, Drew, for going on a tangent here, but why is Logan Stanley coming in this game? Dylan Sandberg's arguably your second best overall defenseman. I'm not joking here. Like, after Josh Morrissey, I would argue that Dylan Sandberg is maybe your best defenseman, and I might hear it here in the chat, but I think that highly of Dylan Sandberg. Why are you taking him out of this game for Logan Stanley? And if anything, why aren't you putting Colin Miller in? Like, to me, it just didn't make any sense.
I agree with you, and look, I thought Stanley, you know, played fine tonight. I don't think anything. He was fine. Sucks he was the Logan knuckles. Stanley.
He's fine, Drew. But like,
yeah.
Why now? I don't know why you make the decision now. I thought Sandberg was good against Washington, Dave.
Well, and Stanley isn't exactly speedy, which the Oilers are. So, but I mean, look, if you're giving anybody a rest at this point, it looks like Neil Pionk is the guy who should be resting because not helping you out there. He really isn't. He's not helping you on the power play. He's not helping you at 5-on-5. So what is he doing right now? I mean, he hasn't looked good for a number of games. I mean, it's an unfortunate set of circumstances because you can say all you want about how well the Jets played in the first period. And it was a good first period and they came out the right way. I mean, they outshot the Oilers 8-1 and then it was 9-3. So, yep. I mean, the Jets started the hockey game the way you'd want them to start the hockey game, motivated. And, you know, they had the benefit of a power play, but I should say they had a power play, maybe not the benefit of a power play, but, you know, so you're liking what they did in terms of that start, if you're a Jets fan, but then as he's right, like the second period is you're at home and the Oilers are, again, they're not the juggernaut Oilers right now. They lost to Toronto. They lost to Ottawa.
Yeah,
so they're not
in a row.
Yeah, they're not a happy team. Similar to the Jets, who've lost 3 in a row coming into tonight's game. But the truth is that you're sitting there and you're looking at, you know, this second period, and they're just errors. They're just mental mistakes. And like as he said, that second goal is the inexcusable one. The first goal is almost like, you know, it's an unfortunate set of circumstances, right? The Jets are inches away from Niederreiter making. I know, I understand, but I'm just saying, you're yes. inches away from making it a 2-0 game. Instead, yep. it's a 1-1 game. So then, again, when you've now given up the lead and the Oilers are coming on, your attention to detail is even more important. And like they said, there's no excuses. You're not sitting here going, well, they've had a tough March. Sure, they've had a tough March. We talked about this in February. We talked about this in January. We said you have an easier February in terms of the games, your schedule, the ability to practice than you will in March because of so many hockey games. And now the Jets are scheduled to practice tomorrow. We don't know if they're actually going to maintain it or if they'll cancel. But the fact of the matter is that the attention to detail that all we heard about from Rick Bowness, I mean, again, Rick Bowness keeps alluding to this idea that he knows what's wrong. Well, Rick, with all due respect, if you know what's wrong, it's kind of time to fix it. Right, he keeps alluding to this mysterious thing about how I know what's wrong, but he's not going to share it with us in the media. Like I was there today in the Matt Frost Media Center, and he's like, "Well, I know what's wrong," and you know, good on. I think it may have been Sean Reynolds who asked the question. And he didn't follow up with saying, "Would you care to share it?" Because you know, why bother? He's going to say, "No, I'm not going to share it with you." Well, Rick, if you know what's wrong, and you're seeing it, and it's not like we talked about it, and as he mentioned this on his Twitter earlier. Today, you know, this is not the same Jets team that had that commitment to play defensive hockey. And when you did have a commitment to play defensive hockey, you were the best team in the NHL. You didn't score 30 goals a game, but you were doing something that we had never seen before here in Winnipeg. And now this team.
Defend.
Yeah. But again, and so now this team is, look, they still, in terms of goals against, they're still up there in terms of in the NHL. But we're seeing things that they weren't doing. And so it's interesting because remember, what was the whole point that Rick Bowness made, boys? The whole point of Rick Bowness was like the Jets' default last year was what they had learned for years. But now he said the default was going to be what this system has taught them. I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing their default be a tight defensive structured team. The default is a loose team. So You're not the default, with all due respect to Rick, isn't what he's saying it is. It's not, it's default to the old style. And again, like that's years and years and years of what these guys have ingrained in them. So I'm not surprised it's not quick to get rid of. But ultimately, like I said, if you're not going to commit to play hockey the right way, you're going to lose. And that's just what's going to end up happening to this Jets team.
It's tough to teach old dogs new tricks, is I think what we're finding out. Let's get into the nitty gritty of tonight's contest. It's the Betway Game Recap.
The Betway Game Recap.
Big thanks to our friends at Betway for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront with a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds. What are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. I did that all off by heart. That means we've done too many of these post-game shows.
72, far this year, to be precise.
Well, there you go. I haven't done all 72, but I can now recite the Betway ad none off of us by have. Heart without looking at any notes. So I don't know if that's a positive or a negative, but
who's done more though, me or Drew? I still think Drew, but I'm getting close.
No, it's definitely me. It's not that close. I'm afraid
it's closer.
Well, we can count them up.
Worldwide,
we can count them up after, but it's not even that close.
Got a few vacations over the last month.
Yeah, but I for the most part, when I go on vacation, I still do the show.
True.
You know, I missed the weekend. I missed the weekend shows. Admittedly, I was.
Yeah. When I'm in Puerto Vallarta, I'm drinking tequila and passing out on the beach. I ain't doing any post game shows, boys.
Exactly. When I'm here, or when I'm in Arizona, or when I'm in Kentucky, I'm still doing the post game shows for the most part, and some of the Saturday shows as well. Nonetheless, we'll get
from Kentucky to Minsk.
Yes, they Mindell. It was a very entertaining first period, as we touched on, back and forth, a lot of good chances, good intensity. Nikolaj Ehlers with a good chance early on, the Logan Stanley, Corey Perry fight that got the crowd into it, and Stanley sort of
definitely had that on my bingo card, Drew.
Well, you know what? You know, if you're Logan Stanley and you're trying to make a positive impact in this game, I mean, you already got your one goal of the year. To expect a second goal is probably too much. So you might as well be a little bit more physical and, you know, and do things of that nature. And we saw the Jets, you know, a couple times had some physicality in tonight's game. And that was a good one.
Brendan Dillon's old school hit.
Yes.
Who am I forgetting? Who was it on here? Why am I forgetting?
It was on Corey Perry.
There you go. Corey Perry. Yeah.
Sorry. Perry, and then he fought Nurse as a result.
Yeah, I thought I forgot who it was because he fought Darnell Nurse, but you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And Rick Bowness was asked about it. I forget if it was Murat or somebody else asked him about it. I mean, this game had emotion, boys. And Dave mentioned Bone's pregame comments. Like, he was saying, like, the effort needs to be better. And he admitted the effort was great in this game. So it wasn't effort, it was execution. It was Drew's attention to detail, right? Like the line changes, you know, which man you're covering on the first goal. Like Leon Draisaitl, there's too many guys puck watching Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
And Leon Draisaitl just, you know, comes on in and he's like, okay, yep, I'll take that pass.
I'm pretty good myself also.
Yeah,
hey, we're going to double team 97. Well, let's just leave that other guy alone.
Or Vander Kane being left open. I think it was Darnell Nurse that sprung him on the breakaway, if I remember correctly, right? So it wasn't like Dave said, this Jets team, for Rick Bowness's system to work, everybody has to be dialed in and you have to be playing that type of game all the way out. And that, I think, is what is most concerning. We had Jason Eastwood's comment up before. Like, the Jekyll and Hyde Jets from 3 or 4 years ago are back, where they have one great period and then they have one terrible period. And then Rick Bowness even said it. And then the third period was, you know, pretty even, right? Like, that's not what you want to see. That's not the type of Jets we saw through the first 40 or 45 games of the season, when they went 34 games without allowing more than three goals, right? Like, you're seeing... it's just too loose of a defensive team right now, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, in the first period, they weren't, but you haven't seen that 60-minute effort.
That's right.
60 minutes that were standard operating procedure in the first half of the year. That's the problem, is that you haven't seen that, you know, game in and game out. You've seen flashes of it. You've seen glimpses of it. You've seen a period here and two periods there, and you've seen it against some of the lesser teams. But, you know, guess what? You're at game, whatever, 72 tonight. You got 10 more to go. If you're going to find it, you're running out of runway to find it before the real games start again.
Well, and just quickly, I'm going to add in a couple thoughts. Number one, special teams, right? I mean, Drew, as the PK has got to get better. I mean, it's inexcusable. It's cost. Well, you know, Rick Bowman said, and he's not wrong. Dave,
let me ask you a question. The two PKs that you saw tonight, which approach do you like better?
Well, obviously the more aggressive.
Of course. It's not even a consideration. The Oilers penalty kill had to make the Jets had to make quick decisions on the power play, and oftentimes they weren't necessarily able to make those quick decisions.
That's right.
The passiveness of the Jets PK is just killing them. Yeah. And I you know, the problem is that at this stage of the game, that's at game 72, you can't. You know, it's hard.
You're not reinventing the wheel, right, Drew?
It's hard to create a brand new system. You put these systems in, you know, at training camp. Well, you know, and so unfortunately, it's probably too late at this point in time. But there's got to be some sort of tweak that you make, some sort of alteration that you make. Maybe it's not a four-man aggressive PK unit, but one player's got to be aggressive to at least make somebody make a quick decision, because passive, back of the net.
Yeah, it was so that and that's a, and again, like I said, that's a bit of a problem for this Jets club right now, and well, not right now, for some time, and it's costing you points. And so ultimately, like we talked about, and we'll get into the Betway game recap right away, but this team, I don't know, like as he's right, Dylan Sandberg is not a guy who should be sitting.
No.
Like, I'm sorry.
And it's not the reason why they lost the game.
No, of course not.
I didn't understand it. Like, at any point, I don't mean to pick on Neil Pionk right now, but like, isn't now a good time of the season to bring in Colin Miller for Neil Pionk?
Yes.
I think a lot of people thought that was going to happen. And again, I'll mention what I said on the weekend. We just do this hockey show. I mean, Bonus, Arneil, Lauer, Johnston, these guys are pro hockey coaches, so they don't really care what I have to say. But it's not just me here. Like, you know, we'll get the chat involved here. Like, did anybody actually think Sandberg was coming into the lineup? Like, Sandberg's been great all season long.
He's been consistent. He's been the same.
You're not going to get a lot of offense from him, but he's a damn good defensive defenseman. And as Dave mentioned, I'd rather have Sandberg out there than Stanley if it's one for one. Again, like, you know, no, all due respect to Logan Stanley, I just didn't think that, if anything, it just had no impact on the game. It didn't do, there was just no reason to do it. Anyways, I think Neil Pionk is just really struggling right now. Well, and I think it is costing them goals.
Well, you know, and you know, again, we've talked about it. Look, it's not.
Thank you, JC. I appreciate that.
It's not our words. It was Rick Bowness who said, "Look, there's going to be a rotation. You're going to see some guys moving in, moving out of the lineup, especially on the back end and the forward group, because of the points the Jets have banked and the fact that the Jets are going to be a playoff team." But it's bizarre to me that Neil Pionk is not included in that. You know, what would be the downside of giving him a night or two off and running your right side with DeMello, Miller, and Schmidt? I just don't see a downside to that at this point.
Not with the way he's playing.
Right. I mean, if he was playing like Josh Morrissey, and then you don't necessarily.
Or at least if he was contributing on the power play, but like, honestly, he wasn't good on the power play. And so tonight, at least. And so, and the other comment I'm going to make, and then we'll go into the recap, but like, or you can share, jump off if you boys want, but you know, I just want to add what Drew was talking about, which is this team is not playing complete hockey games. That Rangers game aside, you know, it's a 20-minute period here. They play bad for two periods, or they play 40 minutes in Washington, but then they take off a period. You can't take off periods. And, you know, like they started that second off the right way with the Mason Appleton goal. But I mean, to just have the Oilers dominate you the way they did in your building, that should be embarrassing for these guys. It really should. And so, you know, we talk about the element of pride. You've got Vegas coming up, and obviously they they got handed by those pesky natural predators. Remember, everybody says forgettable Vegas natural predators.
Vegas was 3-1 in that game.
Yeah, and then 4-1.
Yeah,
and Nashville came back and won 5-4. And Nashville, by the way, 3 points back of the Jets. Yeah. Three. Remember how everybody's like, oh, forget about Nashville. And I was talking about
crazy.
I'm not saying I was like on the Nashville train a long time ago, but all I said was Nashville sure seems to be doing something. Well, again, like I said, 3 points back of Winnipeg, not too shabby.
No, not too shabby at all. What the Predators have been doing has been absolutely amazing. Anyway, 0-0 after 20 minutes. The Jets with a number of good opportunities. They can't capitalize. Sean Monahan hits the crossbar late in that second period. That beautiful tip by Nikolaj Ehlers. Tyler Toffoli just misses on the rebound. That Monahan one where he hit the crossbar, I don't know if it was going to count. I thought it might have been offside.
Offside.
Yeah, I thought it was offside also. In any event, Connor Hellebuck, his best save of the period was probably the pad save off of Zach Hyman again.
Phyllis is correcting me, Drew. It's 4 points apparently for Nashville.
There you go, 4 points. Zach Hyman had that opportunity in the first period again, only because his family was
big news,
well in business. In any event, second period begins. The Oilers get some chances. Warren Fogle Leon Draisaitl. Connor Hellebuck made a nice save. This is all within the
Fogle
first 2 minutes.
Blew past Pionk there.
Well, I was just going to say, glad as he mentioned it.
Yes, exactly. He made Warren Pionk Fogle
is flat-footed, and I hate to keep picking on Pionk here.
Well,
someone pointed out I forgot that he had two. Well, I just didn't think he had a strong game, and I didn't think he was good against the Islanders or the Capitals. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know. Like, aside from his salary, I just don't understand why he's not a healthy scratch at this point. I just don't get it. I think right now he's of the six starting defensemen, he's number six, in my opinion. That's just what I my opinion. You guys might disagree with me, but I think right now I would have Colin Miller in the lineup. I might even have Logan Stanley in the lineup over Pionk, to be honest with you. I'm not joking.
You know, I think it's probably time to try something different at the very least. So, you know, we'll see what comes of that, but should be something different there. Dylan DeMello with a nice defensive play to deflect away the breakaway pass that looked like it was going to hit Draisaitl. I think the pass was coming from Darnell Nurse. Nikolaj Ehlers on a breakaway. He shoots wide. Lots going on in the first couple minutes of the second period. A lot of a carryover from what we saw in a active first period. Then the Jets get on the board. They open the score. It's Mason Appleton. He's up to now. What's he up to now? Hang on. I'm on my second screen with me.
14.
Yeah, 14 of the year. Assist to Kyle Connor and Adam Lowry. It's a bit of it's not the trio that you would expect to be on the ice together at the same time, but it's a strong net drive by Lowry, and it's a nice play by Kyle Connor here in that he gets the shot through, and then the rebound gets onto Appleton's stick, and he makes no mistake. So, you know, good for Mason Appleton to get, you know, if you had said before the season that Mason Appleton's going to have, you know, between 15 and 20 goals for the Winnipeg Jets, which is where he's going to finish, you'd say that's a pretty good year for him. And I think he's been a guy that I'm often wanting to see more from. I think you finally are seeing more from him this year, at least.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Drew. And if you think about, what was it, 20 games or something like that, he went without a goal.
Yeah.
Then, you know, he might even be in the 20 to 25 goal range. I'm not even joking. And you think about how much that line plays, the third line, Lowry, Niederreiter, Appleton. And, you know, he's being rewarded, I think, for how well he's played. And he gets, you know, he gets to start off overtime with Adam Lowry, and they were good, right? They had possession in the Oilers zone. I want to say they almost had a scoring chance as well. Did. And then obviously Connor and Scheifele come on, and we know what happened. So I agree with you. I said to Dave as we were watching the third period here that I think Appleton's playing the best hockey of his career, maybe. And he had a bit of a rough stretch earlier in the season. But yeah, I mean, I like the quick shot by Connor. We've talked about that so many times, the quick release. And I would like to know how many of Appleton's – his last goal was a rebound goal, Dave, you remember.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of Appleton's 14 goals have been rebound goals, but I wouldn't be surprised if like 5 or 6 of his 14 goals have been rebound goals, and that's what he's good at, right? He drives the net. We know he's not one of the Jets' most creative offensive players. But what I liked is Dave mentioned this. Shortly after Appleton made it 1-0 Jets, he had a really sneaky, nice pass to Adam Lowry – and the Jets almost made it 2-0. So that line was really good tonight. I really liked that line. Even though the Jets were badly outplayed in the second period, the Lowry line was good, I thought, all throughout the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Jets, you know, begin to get badly outplayed after they narrowly miss making it 2-0. And that's when Nino Niederreiter had really the 2-0 goal on his stick if it wasn't for Connor McDavid. And even before then, the Jets had an opportunity. Cole Perfetti, who, you know, didn't get a ton of ice time, particularly as this game went on, but he had a nice toe drag and had a good opportunity that Stu Skinner made the save on there. Connor Hellebuck had his two saves off of the Evander Kane.
Sorry, Drew, he actually prefers Stewart.
Pardon me, Stewart. He called me and said that I can call him Stu. It's okay. To me, he's Stu, but Stuart Skinner, yes, as he, you know, Connor Hellebuck made those nice two saves off of Evander Kane. By the way, Evander Kane's a guy who certainly looks like he's slowed down and lost half a step at this point of his career. He's not a driver of the play anymore.
No, he didn't do much in this game. And you're right. I mean, I think last year he surprised. Didn't he have 30 goals last year, guys?
Yeah.
Had a good season last year, but yeah, you're absolutely right, Drew. I mean, he's kind of doing the same old stuff that he was doing when he was a member of the Winnipeg Jet, missing the net, you know, turning the puck over at the opposing team's blue line. I didn't think he was that great tonight. I mean, obviously, guys, it was, you know, 29-97 doing the majority of the damage. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins as well and Hyman. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Kane, I'm just not a big fan of Kane. I'll leave it at that.
Sorry, Dave, go ahead.
No, I was just going to go. Do you want to finish the goal?
Yeah, I'm going to say, so Leon Draisaitl ties it up. It's a play again where all the focus is on Connor McDavid, and rightfully so. I don't mind the approach here with both Scheifele and Connor, who are focused on Connor McDavid. You know, maybe you don't like that they're both as aggressive as they are, but I understand why they are. And McDavid just makes a great play over to Warren Fogel, and then Fogel finds Draisaitl, who I really don't like the play from here, is Nate Schmidt on this one. I don't like how Nate Schmidt is sort of, he's not picking anybody up either pick up Fogel or pick up Draisaitl. Instead, he's just picking up, you know, open air, and Draisaitl makes no mistake after Fogel. Fogel, who, by the way, fits in very nicely in this Oilers team and has showed a lot more than he ever showed when he was a member of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, you're right, Drew. And that was his 20th assist of the season.
It's a fast player.
Yeah.
And look, the problem for the Jets is they're standing still and they just don't have any positioning. And the Oilers do, and I don't like the overcommitment on Connor McDavid. I actually thought Connor McDavid, as great as he is, and there's no doubt about how great a player he is, we could spend an entire show talking about how amazing 97 is, but I didn't think he was actually having the most noticeable of games for the Oilers.
Up until this point.
Yeah, to this point. And so so for me, I didn't love the overcommitment for, you know, both guys to challenge him at that point. And really, like I said, because you know, like, you don't have to be a very strong mathematician, but you know at that point the numbers are not in your favor if Scheifele and Connor are along the wall, and that's going to leave someone like Draisaitl. So for me, that was a big concern, was just that you're looking at the overcommitment that the Jets have made, and let's be real, Connor and Scheifele are not exactly, or not Scheifele so much, sorry, but Kyle Connor, not exactly a defensive stalwart. Mm-hmm. And so it's a tough sequence because it starts in the Edmonton zone right after the Jets had that chance for Nino Niederreiter. And, you know, ultimately Alex Iafallo is late in coming back and Nate Schmidt's caught in the middle. So, you know, he's just kind of standing still, doesn't take anyone. So it's unfortunate for the Jets. It's just not tight defense. And as a result, for, again, it's a really talented Oilers team. You just can't have that, because if you're standing still, we know how fast they are, right? Ezzy, they're going to burn you.
Yeah, it was a, I don't know if you would call it a 1-on-3 or a 2-on-3, but the Jets have the personnel back. It's just the positioning, as Drew mentioned, right? Like, and again, I thought Nate Schmidt was fine in this game, and I think he's been fine after being a healthy scratch and coming back into the lineup. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you just don't, the players that you're supposed to cover here, you don't cover. And I think Neil Pionk was caught in the Oilers zone, if I'm not mistaken, on this play as well, Dave, right?
Yeah.
So he was caught up, and it was Schmidt was the only defenseman back. And also Kyle Connor is just kind of, you know, left in no man's land a little bit. Like, he's going to cover McDavid. And then I forget who makes the pass. It's Fogel that makes the pass over to Draisaitl, right?
Yeah. So then Fogel to Draisaitl.
Yeah. So then Connor's kind of now trying to intercept the pass from Fogel. And then Schmidt kind of is just kind of in no man's land. It's just, again, it's just not crisp defensive coverage. And yes, the Oilers are a great team. Like when you're talking about guys like McDavid, Dreisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, even Warren Fogle's a good hockey player. I'm with you, Drew. I mean, like Fogle's known more as kind of like a bottom six kind of penalty killer guy. He's been elevated, but you know, give the Oilers pro scouting staff credit, right? Like they've gotten the most out of him, right?
Yeah. They found a role player who fits exactly in that role.
Exactly. Same thing with Derek Ryan, right? Good penalty killer, fourth line center, right? So this Oilers team, look, I think guys, if the Jets play the Oilers in a 7-game series, I'm taking the Jets.
Really?
But I also, the reason why I'm taking the Jets, the biggest difference between me is the Jets are a much better defensive team than the Oilers. The thing with the Oilers, as we've talked about so many times over the years, if McDavid and Dreisaitl are doing their thing at the highest level, they're winning games 5-3, 6-2, you know what I mean? Their power play can beat you alone. I mean, put it this way, Drew, there's more teams in the Western Conference that I'm afraid to play. With the Avalanche and the Stars being at the top of that list. I also don't really want to play the Predators right now in a first round series, whoever plays them, right? Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, on this goal, I mean, again, it's just not the type of defensive, and I hate to use the word, but it's just not the type of structure and the execution that we're used to seeing from this Jets team. It really isn't. And I agree with Rick Bowness when he says they shot themselves in the foot in this game.
And as just quickly, you are right. It was Pionk. So Pionk.
Yeah, he was caught up ice, right?
He's the deepest guy on the entire.
So again,
entire sequence.
I have nothing against him. I'm just pointing out what I see.
It's easy
for me to point this stuff out, guys. I wish I wasn't pointing this stuff out, but he's struggling out there.
Maybe
somebody can, you know, disagree with me in the chat. But
I don't think
Pionk is a good defenseman. I just don't think he's playing really well right now.
No,
maybe he's dealing with an injury. I have no idea.
Well, then you give him time off to heal. I mean, you built yourself at least previous to this without Nashville's run, right, Drew? I mean, you would have had yourself a nice little buffer.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, this it's just you have to be able to. As no one's going to believe us if we sit here and we say, well, he, you know, Player X had a fantastic game and everybody watched Player X have a terrible game. Nobody believes you. You got to be honest. That's what we do here on the show. We speak from a place of privilege. I mean, honesty. And so, anyways, so it's he's struggling. There's no question about it. You can't have watched that road trip and sell out some of the games and some of the goals against and pretend like Neil Pionk isn't struggling right now.
Oilers make it 2-1 less than 2 minutes later. It's Connor Brown, his third of the year, assist to Matthias Ekholm and Cody Ceci. And this is the bad line change that was talked about by Rick Bowness in the post-game comments. And it allows the Oilers a free entry into the Jets zone. And Dylan DeMello is sort of trapped here. He can't, you know, in no man's land in terms of how to play. Connor Brown is between the hash marks and DeMello, you know, unfortunately, the shot glances off his stick and probably redirects past Connor Hellebuck to make it 2-1 for the Oilers. And the Jets, to me, are a little shell-shocked for the remainder of the third period, and for the remainder of the second period and a bit of the third period as a result of sort of this sequence here. They come so close to making it 2-0 off Nino Niederreiter. Instead, the Oilers come back, and then the Jets, I thought, were sort of a shell of themselves from this point on until they had their sort of flurry to tie the game in the third period.
Absolutely. And you know, that was the type of game it was back and forth. And guys, if you think about it, it was no different in the bubble, right? Like, and that's why these games are so fun to watch. I think most Jets fans, especially if the Jets get the 2 points, they'd love to see these two teams play. You're seeing two of the best players in the world in Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. You're seeing the best goalie in the world. The Jets have probably their best team, I would argue, since 2018. But the problem is, in a game like that, even though you know you're trading chances, you have to try to limit them as best you can, and you can't afford bad line changes. You're absolutely right. We talked about it. There's two bad line changes there. You know, Dylan DeMello, it's not on him here. It's not on Connor Hellebuck. Connor Brown has missed quite a bit of hockey over the last couple of years. He's a good player. You remember, I want to say he had a 25 goal season with Toronto and Ottawa. He was a good player. I've always liked Connor Brown, one of those depth guys. You know, we were talking about, you know, the Derek Ryans and the Warren Fogles, right? That was kind of the problem 3 or 4 years ago. The Oilers didn't have these guys. I don't know how much more you can break it down, Dave. It's just, an awful line change. And it's just, you know, these types of things, guys, are just not what we're used to seeing with the Jets.
Well,
and you know, they deserve to be scored on with that line change.
Yeah, that's just, you look, you, I don't care who you're playing, especially a team with the Oilers talent, and this isn't the Oilers big guns beating you, but you put any NHL player, you know, with a lot of time and space between the hash marks, you know, for, you know, they're going to be in a dangerous position. And so Connor Brown, who to Ezzie's point, you know, can score, is certainly not what he once was, but he can score, and he does on this one to give the Oilers a 2-1 lead. Jets get a golden opportunity to maybe get back into the game, maybe take a stranglehold. You know, the double minor, you know, for Connor Brown high sticking Dylan DeMello. This coming after the Oilers make it 2-1, the Jets do nothing on that power play, less than nothing. It was just an atrocious 4 minutes where they generate zero shots on goal. They had one opportunity that was redirected wide. But I mean, really everything from, you know, let's say the 11 minute mark of the second period until the,
you mean when they didn't have a shot?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Till the 8 minute mark of the third period, the Jets were just, they just seemed like they were shell shocked to me. Like they were almost, oh, woe is me, and sort of hanging their head, which just, you know the way that they just had nothing going for them, and the Oilers obviously were taking control of the game, you know, especially after 40 minutes. And then Dave, with Nikolaj Ehlers in the penalty box after
he didn't get a penalty called.
After he didn't get a penalty called, where he was tripped and he probably should have received a call. And he, you know, comes back on the, and he has a loose stick on the play going back up the ice into the Jet zone. And he, you know, he clips Darnell Nurse, and Edmonton gets a double minor. The Jets get a double minor, and Edmonton's got a 4 minute power play. Jets, like the Jets just did in the, you know, earlier in the second period. We're now into the third period here on the Betway game recap. And the Oilers capitalize. It's Connor McDavid with a clean zone entry with a head of speed like only Connor McDavid can generate, really. And he feeds it right across the crease to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins in the pass, you know, narrowly evades Dylan DeMello, but Ryan Nugent-Hopkins at the far post at the backdoor play is there to tuck it past Connor Hellebuck. And the Oilers have a 3-1 lead, you know, at the 6:10 mark of the third period. And I'll be honest, I didn't see a Jets comeback, but we know that happened. But first, touch on this goal, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is Brendan Dillon's got to play. I mean, look, I'm going to qualify my criticism by saying I have the luxury of sitting high above the ice surface.
Not playing against Connor McDavid.
High above the ice surface where the air is crisp, for those who recall the movie The Girl Next Door. But I guess if you're Brendan Dillon, you need to take Connor McDavid out at the boards there, really, because he's got the puck. And he gets past you. Well, once he's past you, you know you're in trouble, right? Because, again, man advantage. You're now down to man. Connor McDavid's behind you. You're just hooped. You know, at that point, you're screwed. So, I mean, Dylan DeMello tries to do his best and intercept the pass. But, I mean, again, like I said, it's good. It's what the Jets aren't doing. It's a good attack using your power play. And unfortunately for Winnipeg, they're not doing it right, boys. And they're not having success on their power play right now. The Oilers attack aggressively with speed. And so, you know, Rick Bowness talked about it, right? Three guys at the line. We're trying to stick handle through them all. Well, it's not working. And so again,
and on the opposite side, they're indecisive on defense, right? Like I think most of the time, Brendan Dillon is making sure that Connor McDavid, as you said, Dave, doesn't get past him there.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, Dylan DeMello, again, arguably the Jets' best defensive defenseman. I think most people would say that he is the Jets' best defensive defenseman. You know, he's just, you know, an inch too late or an inch too far away to intercept that pass, as you said, right, Dave? So they're not making the right plays at the right times. They're making the wrong decisions at the wrong times. It's just emblematic of how far they are from where they were playing through the first 40 or 45 games of the season when they were, you know, third or fourth overall in the league. And again, the sky's not falling, guys. They have 10 games left. They can still finish first in the division.
I think that ship has sailed.
Well,
I know it's mathematically you're right, but in my opinion right now
they're only 3 points back, right, Drew? Like it's not like they're 8 points back or anything.
Pending what Dallas and Colorado do tonight, they're in action.
No, but I'm just saying, like, it's still
you're right. It's not mathematically impossible.
And they have a tough schedule, right? Like they've got Vegas coming up. I mean, Ottawa obviously is not a tough game, but yeah, I mean, it's starting to get to that point where the pessimism is creeping in with how they've been playing, right? But you're absolutely right, Dave, and like Brendan Dillon. You know, he scores a goal, obviously, to
apparently the Habs beats the Habs boys.
Yeah, they looks like yes. Thank you. Montreal defeated Colorado 2-1 in Colorado tonight, which is certainly
just as we all predicted. Thank you to the chat.
And Dallas is up 3-2 on San Jose, but that's early in the second period. So yes, thank you to the chat.
So you're saying there's a chance the Jets still can't finish free?
Yes, there's a chance. 3-1 at this point in time for Edmonton. The Jets make it 3-2. It's Brendan Dillon, his 8th of the year. And again, when you set a career high in goals, you also get the Seagram shot of the game honor.
The Seagram shot of the game.
Big thanks to our friends at Seagram's for their continued support of Illegal Curve and the Illegal Curve post-game show. Ezzy's got the big bottle of Fireball ready tonight. There you go.
Drew, so, this shot's for you in Florida, and it's also for Andrew Berkshire.
he might be hitting the bottle after the night that he's having. But big thanks to Seagram.
Goes down so nicely.
For their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Fireball is a great product that our friends at Seagram's make and keep us hydrated with on a regular basis.
I'm awake now, boys.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't hear what you said, Ezzy.
I said I'm awake now.
Oh, there you go. That's good. Dillon, look, this is a nice play by the Jets. So they, you know, 3-1, and you like this response. You like this fight from the Jets. You do like this. So you can't overlook this and say it's window dressing because it wasn't window dressing.
No,
like
it was you're down six.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like you're down 6-1 and you score two goals. You're down 3-1 and you battle back. And it's Dillon starts it off. You know, Niederreiter hits the post, you know, seconds earlier. And again, you're sort of thinking to yourself, oh gosh, the Jets come that close again. But they gather the rebound and Scheifele goes to Dillon, and Dillon is at the point, and there's a lot of traffic in front of Stuart Skinner, and he goes short side in and off the post and in. And it's a nice goal for Brendan Dillon. I'm sure it feels great for him to set that career high. And it's 3-2 at this point in time. So the Jets still have some life, you know, with about 10 minutes to go in the third period.
Yeah, I mean, no, sorry, I thought Ezzy was going to go, but I think he had his cough thing on. But
yeah,
I mean, like, I'm with
you. Sorry, Dave, that was a fireball cough.
That's okay. Look, first of all, it's shortly there, about 3 minutes after you've now given up a 3-1 goal. And let's be realistic. This Oilers team is not exactly known for locking it down and defensive acumen. So there is some expectation that you can come back in this game. And that was like as poorly as the Jets played in the second period, you did want to see that they were going to have some sort of pushback in the third. And so, you know, you give up a power play goal, again, not ideal, but you like the fact that they're at least playing, you know, hard here to try and mount some sort of comeback. And you can see them on the bench. The guys are engaged. And that's what we've talked about, right? That's what this team has been lacking is scoring from the back end. Like really, other than Brendan Dillon, who's got 8 now, they have not had the same success from the defense that they had. And by the way, what was one of the big catalysts for them scoring? Even though I think Skinner saw it, you still had Namestnikov and Niederreiter in front of the net in case there was a rebound. But that's, again, we haven't seen that enough that, you know, we've seen too much with guys on the outside, guys on the perimeter, and nobody in that tough area, right, Ezzy? So you get those guys in front. Brendan Dillon beats him clean. That's great. But if he hadn't, at least one of those guys gets a chance to try and bury that rebound. So
some pretty nice, sorry to cut you off, some pretty nice breaking news from Gregory Liverpool. Shane Doan's son, Josh Doan, has scored his first NHL goal.
Yeah, there you go. Nice. Yeah, he gets the
and the 2,000 people went wild.
Ooh, Drew.
Come on, let's be honest.
Drew, that's your 1,200.
Yeah, okay, whatever it is. So 3-2 at this point in time. And so the Jets have some life, into the back half of the third period. And, exactly 1 minute later, they tie it up. So, I mean, again, the Jets, I think it speaks to Ezzy's point about the Oilers and maybe there's some of their sieve-like defense at times. This is Monahan, his 22nd of the year assist to Ehlers and Neil Pionk. Sort of ironic that we've been, I think rightfully so, criticizing Neil Pionk in tonight's game. And he did have two assists. Worth pointing that out for equal opportunity. It's a clean faceoff win. Ehlers walks the line here. Monahan goes to the net. Ehlers gets the shot through, and Monahan is in front, causing trouble and causing chaos. And he tips it past Stuart Skinner to tie the game up at 3. And so all of a sudden, after the Jets really the big lull and the big hold in their game in the middle of that second period and to start the third has been erased, and now it is a 3-3 game with 10 minutes to go in the third period.
Yeah, I what I love the most about this is the Jets' attack mentality, right? And we've talked about it so many times, right? Like, Nikolaj Ehlers is often criticized for being too east-west, right? For hanging on to the puck too much and everything like that. And, he's got a great shot, and I think he should use it more. And that's what he does here, right? Like, he knows that there's blood in the water. He knows that the Jets are pressing. And it's a beautiful tip by Sean Monahan. And that's the thing that's unfortunate about this game, guys, is that the Ehlers-Monahan to Foley line was good.
Yeah.
The Lowry-Appleton-Niederreiter line was good. Obviously, the fourth line didn't play that much. Shifley-Connor-Iafallo, I thought, they were fine. It wasn't their best game. I still don't like that line. I still prefer Nemesnikov on that line. But the reality is, guys...
Well, you're getting closer to having, I was going to say, you're getting closer to Pierre-Luc Dubois back, but you're getting closer to having Gabe Vilardi back, who was wearing a regular jersey at morning skate today. So he's
something worth mentioning.
I think you've been getting too much sun down there in Florida, because Pierre-Luc Dubois, he might get a part-time job at Home Depot in Winnipeg this summer, but I don't think he's coming back for the Jets, but you're right. No, I think Vilardi, it's safe to say, is going to go back to the top line with Shifley and Connor, maybe Shifley and Ehlers. I actually prefer Appleton over Iafallo, but again, the guys, it seems like, we're going back to line combination lunch here. But yeah, I just love the fact that the Jets could sense that, the tying goal was coming. And that's the line that I think the way they're playing that they were going to get it done. But I just love that shoot first mentality from Ehlers there, Dave.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. And again, it has someone in front of the net, right? That's how you score those goals. And so Sean Monahan tips it. And look, sold out again, the building. So, I mean, that's a good sign. And I suspect, quite frankly, that all three of these games this week are going to be sellouts. I think probably as it inches towards the end.
It's Dave, it's because the reason why it was a sellout tonight, there's a lot of family wealth in Winnipeg.
Well, there are a lot of Oilers fans. I'm wearing red for the record. I want folks to see a legal curve red. Speaking of which, do a little icy plug right here. We've got 5 days left in March, which means you've got 5 days, count them, five fingers, 5 days left to get IC merch from the IC merch store. So if you want to buy yourself like a hat like Ezzy's or a hoodie like mine, Drew doesn't appear to be wearing any IC gear right now. Way to go, Drew. But if you do.
Well, Drew did have his banana hammock on when he was in the pool earlier. So.
Anywho, so the point is that if you want to get some IC merch, 5 more days. I just threw a link in the chat so you can look like us at IC anytime you want.
There you go.
Anyways, what was I just saying?
Wear the clothes that we're wearing. You don't have to look like us because that might.
Anyway, what I was saying is that the atmosphere was great though because there were a ton of Oilers fans, I know folks don't like it when the opposing team has fans in the building, but it makes for a good environment, and so there was a lot.
Let me
fun.
Tell you, Dave, you're going to see opposing fans in any arena in the NHL. It's not like it's just a Winnipeg thing. Like, if you go to Montreal, you're going to see, and the Montreal Canadiens are playing the Boston Bruins. You're going to see Bruins fans. They're going to get beat up in the parking lot after the game, but they're still Bruins fans in the arena. Well,
Ezzy, there were
that was funny.
They do.
That was funny. I chuckled.
They do have a contest where they had not a contest, but like a thing, a promo
lost fans,
which is usually pretty funny. And then there were actually two people Brass Bonanza would like this. There were two people wearing Hartford Whalers, jerseys. So, I don't think they were Carolina Hurricanes because it was Ray Ferraro. So some old school stuff, a lot of fun, but I'm just saying
Adam Hurt would be proud.
Yeah, but it makes for a good environment, and that's all I'm saying.
3-3 at this point in time. The Jets do come close to making it 4-3. You know, this is, again, seconds after they tied it up. Adam Lowry with a good opportunity. Stuart Skinner makes a nice glove save on him there. The Jets have an opportunity. You can't talk about the end of this game without mentioning that with 2 minutes to go, the Jets get a beneficial call. The officials whistle Ryan Nugent-Hopkins for high-sticking Dylan DeMello, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it was Dylan DeMello's stick.
Right, Dylan DeMello.
On Adam Lowry.
Came up. On Adam Lowry, right. Yeah. It was Ryan Nugent-Hopkins got whistled for high-sticking Adam Lowry when, in fact, it was Dylan DeMello's stick that caught Adam Lowry. The refs talked about it. It looked like they were going to change their mind. They decided not to. So Jets' golden opportunity.
It's true. They were like, did you see anything? Whose stick was it? Did you see whose stick was it? I have no idea. I think it might have been their stick. I have no idea. Okay, we'll just keep it as a penalty. Oh, yeah. Connor McDavid is yelling at us. That's not good. Okay, guys, drop the puck.
2:06 to play in the third period, then Jets can't capitalize again. They just don't have a killer instinct, at least right now, when it comes to the special teams.
That's right. Why, Drew, you got to go get well, so we want you to get well.
Well, they need Gabe Vilardi back. I mean, when he was healthy, and again, I mean, it is worth saying, just briefly as an aside, the Jets have not played, I don't think they've played one game altogether. If I'm not mistaken,
are you talking about with like Monahan and Toffoli now?
With Monahan and Toffoli and Vilardi and everybody since the trade deadline,
I don't think one or two games together.
Because Vilardi was out of the lineup.
Yeah, because Vilardi's last game was the February 29th, and they acquired Monahan at the trade deadline. They acquired Toffoli at the trade deadline.
So Vilardi's last game was the game 29th. Against Dallas, right?
Yeah,
the leap day.
You just said it, February 29th.
That's right. So they haven't played all together yet. So
this is something interesting from David. Sorry, Drew. About it being reviewed, the high stick. If it was a 5-minute major, they could review it. I think double what David minor. Is talking about is video review.
Yes. So had it been a double minor, had Adam Lowry been cut on that play? Let's say Adam Lowry gets cut, and then they penalize and they assess the penalty to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and it's a 4-minute double minor. They can review that, and then they would have been able to overturn that call altogether. But because it was a 2-minute penalty, it's not reviewable, and thus they couldn't overturn it using video review. Now, that's something that the NHL general managers have discussed changing the rule of for next year, that be reviewable. Friendly fire high sticks could be subject to a coach's challenge, just like puck over glass penalties could be subjected to coach's challenge. Obviously not for this season, but I'd expect next year that's possibly a rule change that might come into effect. In any event, it doesn't. The Jets don't score on the power play. We go into overtime. The Jets have, you know, decent opportunities. They have the control of the puck. And Kyle Connor, just with an irresponsible play, especially in overtime, when the name of the game in overtime is puck possession. You have to hold on to that puck, even if it means sending it 200 feet down the ice to Connor Hellebuck. You can't be soft and give it away to the opponent. He's soft. He gives it away to the Oilers. Let me just pull up the actual details of the goal.
I also got to say, Drew, here, I don't like the way Mark Scheifele played Zach Hyman.
That's what I was going to get
to next. It's a flyby. You're right.
It's a Kyle flyby. Connor, it's exactly right.
You can't turn the puck over like that in 3-on-3 overtime. And look at guys, Scheifele and Connor, how many times have these guys connected and scored the game-winning goals for the Jets? But again, just not good enough execution, attention to detail, whatever you want to call it. Right. Everything about this, I just didn't like Scheifele and Connor the way they played out there in overtime.
Yeah, Connor with the giveaway initially that leads to the Oilers being able to transition up the ice, and then Scheifele with a drive-by on Zach Hyman and you know, not just, you know, his attempted stick check goes for naught, and Hyman is able to deposit his own rebound past Connor Hellebuck. You know, he gets his 51st goal of the year. All of those 51 goals have been fluky and a result of his family wealth and nothing to do with any skill that he might have. And the Oilers leave Winnipeg with a 4-3 victory as a result of this overtime winner. So the Jets do get the altogether important point,
but
there's a little bit of a sour taste there, Dave.
I just don't understand how Zach Hyman was able to score without Connor McDavid, because I thought all his goals came because he was just tapping in Connor McDavid's efforts.
Right.
But ultimately, you know, Zach, what is this? Hyman Lunch? Matt Hyman might like that if he's in the chat right now. I saw him earlier, but
yeah, Zach look, Hyman's cousin.
Yeah. His cousin from Michigan. But anyways, look, this is, Yeah, you don't like the defense.
I'm joking. It's not his cousin for anybody who doesn't know that I'm joking. It's not his cousin.
Yeah, Ezzie is joking. He's a joker, that Ezzie. Lots of jokes. But anyways, the point is that you just, yeah, like, look, and I just saw the comment in the chat. The Jets, Scheifele obviously knew that I think it was KWB who came up with that one. But it's just, you know, they try and do a switch, and DeMello's with Ryan Nugent Hopkins, and Scheifele's supposed to take Hyman, except he doesn't. And so you just look at this defensive decision here, and you're like, well, what are you doing, guys? Like, it's overtime. You know that that there's going to be opportunities. And so, yeah, it's an unfortunate conclusion. I mean, like I said, given everything that happened with Zach Hyman, I suspect that folks are, you know, again, it seems rather appropriate given all the attention that his name received, unfortunately for him.
Yeah, through no fault of his own.
No, of course he didn't have any choice.
I really don't think, I'm not saying you're saying that, Dave, but I really don't think Zach Hyman cares at all what
no.
What Andrew Berkshire has to say. And it's just funny, right? Because it's such a great story.
I don't think anybody cares what that guy has to say.
That's a good point, Dave. Let's be realistic. But it's just funny, like, you know, if Austin Matthews hits 70 goals, like, is Andrew Berkshire going to say anything about that? Probably not.
No, I mean, look, it doesn't. That, like, I don't even want to give the guy the airtime, but I just think ultimately, as I said, as I said on Twitter, I do think it's funny to see the entire hockey world unite against one person, with a take so terrible that it creates that environment. But because we know that hockey fans generally don't agree about anything other than how much they hate, you know, everybody else's team except for their own, and sometimes they hate their own team, but. Look, it's an unfortunate set of circumstances, probably appropriate given how the Jets played overall in today's game, showing once again that this team needs to get, like, boys, just to kind of put a bow on this team just showed that you just can't play 40 minutes of hockey or 30 minutes of hockey.
They were lucky to get a point. I think the Jets got exactly what they deserved.
Yeah.
I think the Oilers deserved the extra point. Games, you, like, the game against the Capitals, the Jets deserved 2 points, I think.
Yeah, no, and
I think that was a game in which Lindgren, you know, he stole the show a little bit.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Right? This is not a game in which the Jets got goalied or they got bad luck or anything like that. In fact, the Oilers won despite being penalized for a penalty that shouldn't have been called. Right? So I think the Jets were got exactly what they deserved here. Yes,
you can also
got a point, but you got to get 2 points versus Vegas. 1 point against Vegas is not going to cut it.
As I was going to say, you could also say that Edmonton, though, did get the benefit of a power play that they shouldn't have had, except for the fact that, you know, that Nikolaj Ehlers wouldn't have been in the penalty box had they called. I'm just saying there's a lot of... the refs are whatever. But like I said, what this team needs to get back to, and whether they practice tomorrow or not, we'll see. Yeah, I don't think there's been anything announced yet. But I think that with Gabriel Vilardi, I mean, he could still skate tomorrow, even if they don't have an official skate. But they want to get him practicing against this team. Or with the team, sorry, but, and we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. But like I said, this team with 10 games to go, regardless of the results, you just need to see that they are committed to playing that structure, that tight defensive hockey. Cause if you're not, you could win Connor Hellebuck, guys, can win you a round of the playoffs by himself. We saw Jake Oettinger do it for Dallas. Was it last year against Calgary when he was absolutely phenomenal in the 7-game series? Like, guys, goalies can do that. So if Connor Hellebuck does that, nobody's going to be surprised that Connor Hellebuck does that. But I'm just saying that you are not going to, it's not sustainable to win multiple rounds of the playoffs. So this team has to decide, right? Again, and it's an 82-game season. Drew always talks about how long, it's too long. But eventually these guys are going to have to rein it in and figure it out and get back to the system that worked so successfully that you were the best team for months. And everybody was like, is this a mirage? It's a mirage. No, it seemed real. Now folks are questioning it. We'll see if they can spend the next 10 games trying to get back to that.
And that's what the Winnipeg Jets will try to do starting Thursday night against the Vegas Golden Knights in another important tilt in downtown Winnipeg. Before we go to break, we want to remind everybody our next live on location broadcast at Boston Pizza on Taylor Avenue is going to be for the first road game of the playoffs. So we don't know exactly when it's going to be, but whenever the Jets play the first road game of the playoffs, we're going to be live at Boston Pizza, an Illegal Curve watch party, which also means an Illegal Curve live on location post game show. So make sure that whenever that is, it's going to be in April, obviously, probably middle to late April. Mark it in your calendars. Tell everybody we're going to Boston Pizza on Taylor Avenue. The IC crew is going to be there doing a live show. We're going to gather around all together. We're going to watch the Jets on the road for game one.
Are we going to sing Kumbaya, Drew? Like,
if
gather
you want
around?
To, you can. It's up to you. You know, the first road game of the playoffs, we're going to be at Boston Pizza.
Game
on
one
Taylor
or game
Avenue.
Three?
That's right. It's either going to be game one of the series or game three of the series. And right now it's looking like it's more likely to be game one of the series than game three of the series. When we come back, we will do the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. And of course, we will wrap up tonight's post game show. Don't go anywhere. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. It's after midnight on the East Coast. This is the Illegal Curve post game show.
BP's new York Sicilian square footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're gonna have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the New York Sicilian square footers, only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life? Like finding out your favorite snack has zero calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking, and to sweeten the deal even more.
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni!
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
The game can change.
Ah!
Just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to RumorsComedyClub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. 10 minutes after the top of the hour, which makes it Wednesday morning here on the East Coast. What are you guys laughing about?
As his last comment in the private chat.
Oh, okay. I didn't see you. Yes, Ezra, I'm doing this show at Mar-a-Lago. That's exactly where I'm doing the show from. I'm doing the show from Mar-a-Lago. You know, me and DJT are real tight. Yeah. We're going to hang out afterwards.
Well, I know you were at that $800,000 a plate dinner that Trump that Trump had yesterday trying to raise $175 million. But people get mad at us when we talk about politics. So we'll just stick to bashing Andrew Berkshire.
There you go. That works just as well.
Ezzy, that's something that in the entire hockey world will agree with. If you say something about that guy.
I'm sorry. You know what? I had a shot of fireball here, so that loosens me up a little bit.
Oh, boy.
That was the worst fucking take I've ever seen in my life. Zach Hyman scores 50 goals, and everybody is happy for him. And then here comes Andrew Berkshire, Mr. Buzz Killington. Like, what the hell? What was that? It was just...
I said what it was on my Twitter feed. If anyone wants to go see it there, they're welcome to go see it. We don't need to bring it up here on the show. But
it's a family show, despite Ezzy's F-bomb.
It's okay. Ezzy's allowed to throw an F-bomb every now and then, every now and then.
Well, this is now the IC After Dark element, so we're good.
Yeah, there you go. This is After
Dark. I'll just tell Ruben and Ariella and Sam and Aaron not to watch an hour and 15 minutes into the Jets Oilers postgame show on March 26th, right? They're never going to see it.
I wouldn't be too concerned about that that occurring one way or another. Before we get to the tough duck hardest hitting comment, Dave, why don't you maybe, for anybody who's missed it, give a quick update on what Rick Bowness said today about Gabe Vilardi, because it was interesting and unexpected to see him on the ice in a regular jersey for morning skate.
Yeah, that's true. We were at Canada Life Center covering the game, as we always do, and both Rick Bowness and Gabriel Vilardi were on the ice. Gabriel Vilardi in a regular uniform. So, I mean, it is definitely noticeable. It was noticeable and notable that he was wearing that. And then so after skate, he was asked about his progress. And he said, and I quote, "Good. We haven't seen him for a while. He didn't come up on the road trip with us, but I was out there early with him, and he's skating around, and he looks good. Now we need to take him every day and get our coaches pushing him, finding out where he is conditioning wise and playing through any discomfort. We won't know those things until we get him on the ice like today and push him and keep pushing him and see where he is." Follow-up question asked if Vilardi's spleen was back to normal. Credit to some fans, by the way, who were writing when Rick Bowness had his minor procedure. They said, "Thanks, coach, for giving your spleen to Gabriel Vilardi." So that was pretty funny from the fans. But
I don't think you need a spleen donation, but that's funny nonetheless.
It was funny nonetheless.
Can someone give me their kidney?
No, it's your liver, Ezzy, that they, you need it.
Well, not with the stone,
kidney
though, remember.
Kidney stones.
Oh, right. I meant the liver because you pickled yours already.
Vilardi, to answer Doug's question, Vilardi was on for the entirety of today's morning skate. Follow-up question asked if Vilardi's spleen was back to normal. Yes, and now we have to push him to see how much discomfort there's going to be when we really push him. It's one thing to be working out on your own and everything else, but now you get one of our coaches pushing you, and we know how far we can push him. We got to find out. A lot of pushing. As to what pushing means specifically, he added, because we don't have any practice time, so it's getting him out there like today and putting him through a bunch of different shooting and drills and skating drills and seeing where his comfort level is and where his conditioning level is. So while you wouldn't expect to see Gabriel Vilardi back immediately, there is some good news when it comes to the Jets winger.
Bones was then asked about Vilardi's family's wealth and how it impacts the Jets power play.
Man,
very funny.
Bingo.
I mean, Dave was like, "I don't think people are going to be talking about this a day later." That might be the case, but I sure am. I mean, this is the funniest thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. It's going to be the terrible take that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Anyways,
tough duck hardest hitting comment. Let's wrap up the post game show.
The tough duck hardest hitting comment.
All right. It's time for the tough duck hardest hitting comment. I love Dave how Drew lets me come in. And he doesn't even have to tee it up. He just lets me come right in there. We're going to give it to Isha Boy Bruce, who is actually our boy, Bruce. Like this comment here. "If this team is going to go on a run, they need to work their tails off every night because, sure, they have horses, but not enough to get on by talent and snake charmer offense alone." And again, you know, I think the effort has been there the last two games. Certainly, you know, the game against Washington, they deserved a few goals, right, Dave? We did the post-game show, Drew. Was you know, doing it up with you know, his boys at Mar-a-Lago there in Florida, but yeah, obviously, you know, there were some miscues, bad line changes, just loose defensive coverage. We talked about it on the Ryan Nugent-Hopkins goal that made it 3-1 for the Oilers. So it's your boy Bruce. Send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com. Slide into my DMs at ICSEG, or I might just see you at Bar Italia, and maybe you can just tell me your address when we're having you know, a drink at Bar I. But it's your boy, Bruce. Congrats, you win the TD. hardest hitting comment for tonight.
There you go. Congratulations to Isha Boy Bruce. Always a great time here on the Illegal Curve post game show. In case you missed any of it, the podcast will be available shortly after we end this show. And of course, the instant replay on our YouTube channel as well. We're going to be back on Thursday night after the Jets and the Vegas Golden Knights. The Jets look to arrest the slide they are in the midst of and get back to winning ways against their nemesis from Vegas. Everything that happened in tonight's game and everything that's gone down in the last couple of days is, of course, available on illegalcurve.com and here on our YouTube channel. Two great resources that are strong assets for any Jets fan in your life. Want to say a big thank you to all of our sponsors who make this post-game show, the Saturday show, and the website a possibility. That's our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Grid Park, we saw somebody in the chats who said they used code Illegal Curve to park for free, and they took advantage of that for tonight's post, for tonight's game in downtown Winnipeg. Our friends at Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Farmery Beer. Keep on keeping on and supporting all of our great sponsors. Big thanks to Dave. Big thanks to Ezzy. Big thanks
to Drew, by the way, quickly, Grid Park, we didn't give away the free parking yet. So even though we have eight now.
It's because you used it, Dave.
I did not use it, to be clear. Did not use it. But my point is that we do have the Grid Park. So you have to go on the Instagram, like it, share it, make sure you're following them as well. And we'll award a winner and you'll be able to use it for the next game. If you chose, so choose.
There you go. Something to do. So check us out on Instagram there as well. Big thanks to all of you. We'll see you Thursday night. Until then, for Dave Manouk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.